think it's like we can't say that we don't like the Beatles because it's so sacrilege.
This is the Vinyl Garage.
And a one and a two. There's a place where I can go, and that's where I wanna be. I'm saying goodbye to you, good people, for I found a place for me. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Gonna go way out,
way out.
That's where the fun is, way out,
way out.
That's where the sun is, way out.
Welcome to the Vinyl Garage. I'm your host, Dave Nelson, and for the next 60 minutes, we will explore the vinyl history of rock and roll, zeroing in on the lesser-heard world of B-sides and album cuts, along with, at times, some not-so-subtle commentary, incorporating everything from the blues of the 30s to the rock and roll of today. This is the music we love. Let's give it the respect it deserves. Let me say for the record that I am a fan of the Beatles, as an entity and as individual solo artists. Although by the end of this hour, you may not believe that that is the case. I honestly believe that the Beatles are the reason that the music / record industry is. Without the contributions, not to say someone else would not have stepped up in their absence, the music world would have been a very different place. Wondering where I'm going with this? Be patient. We'll get there. According to Wikipedia, the boys recorded 280 songs, 73 of which were covers. So, with that amount of items in your catalog, you have a reasonable chance of a few clinkers. See? Patience has paid off. There's the theme of this week's Vinyl Garage. The least best songs released by the Beatles as a group and as solo artists, compiled by me using internet sources and my highly biased opinion. We're starting the festivities with the Beatle record that would have benefited most by just some simple editing. But the massive egos of John and Paul quickly squashed that idea. Of course, I'm referring to the White Album, a double LP that should have been a single record. At the beginning of John and Yoko's relationship, John had the good sense to limit the experimental crap for records bearing his and Yoko's name. But he wanted Revolution 9 to be a Beatles song. It wasn't. But the really criminal part is that it consumed 8 minutes and 22 seconds of the record that could have been given to George Harrison, making the 2-LP record a work of art. But alas, we were given this.
Number nine.
Number 9 wasn't the only White Album cut that should have ended up on the floor of the editing room. Why Don't We Do It in the Road? Maxwell Silver Hammer? Everybody's Got Something to Hide Except for Me and My Monkey? And Rocky Raccoon could have ended up in the EMI dustbin and no one would have cared. But as according to multiple online sources, the cut Wild Honey Pie was the number one offending track. According to some reports, Wild Honey Pie would have been deep sixth, except for the opinion of George's girlfriend, Patty Boyd, who liked it. The track Dig It from Let It Be also scored high on the dislike scale, beginning life as a like a Rolling Stone-ish jam of 15 plus minutes. It has been edited numerous times by any number of producers, including Phil Spector, George Martin, and Glenn Johns. Now, it's ironic the version that most likely caught the ire of Beatle fans was by far the shortest, at 51 seconds. Wonder how they'd feel if it was the George Martin version that runs almost 4 minutes. If you want it, and if you want it, you can get it, so come on.
Get it! It's free! You want it, you can pick it.
Side to Let It Be was also not a fave of most Beatle fans. The song You Know My Name, Look Up the Number was originally intended as a Plastic Ono Band A-side with What's the New Mary Jane as the flip, with Apple actually assigning a catalog number, number 1002, but it was never released, resurfacing as the aforementioned Beatle B-side. The saxophone part was played by Rolling Stone Brian Jones. The version we heard is the first ever stereo mix found on 1996's Anthology 2 album, markedly different than the single. The greatest number of purely bad song choices, all in one place no less, by the Beatles, or any band for that matter, was the dismal set list from the Boys' 1962 Decca audition. Such clinkers as Till There Was You, Three Cool Cats, Besame Mucho, and September in the Rain, for example, makes you believe the audition was for a nursing home program. It's no wonder Decca Records showed them the door. Yet, they were young, but there's absolutely no excuse for Till There Was You, a song from the Broadway show The Music Man, no less, to show up on a proper Beatle album, and in this case, their second LP with the Beatles. Oh, the best reason not to record it was that Anita Bryant already did. I rest my case.
There were bells on a hill, but I never heard them ringing. No, I never heard them at all, till there was you. There were birds in the sky, but I never saw them winging. No, I never saw them at all, till there was you. Then there was music and wonderful roses, they tell me, in sweet fragrant meadows of dawn and dew. There was love all around, but I never heard it singing. No, I never heard it at all till there was you. I never heard it singing. No, I never heard it at all till there was you.
As much as John wanted it to be known his opinion of the crap Paul would sing, he wasn't innocent of bad choices. Example, Mr. Moonlight. Putting so much effort into making it sound like they're taking the song seriously increases the comedic effect. And Paul's organ solo raises the result to campy, not unlike the tongue-in-cheek You Know My Name. The song was nowhere close to their best effort from the lackluster Beatles for Sale LP.
Mr. Moonlight,
you came to me one summer night,
and from your beam you made my dream,
and from the world said my girl.
Love you,
Mr. Moonlight.
And the night you don't come my way, oh, I pray and pray more each day. We love you,
Mr. Moonlight. Mr. Moonlight, come again, please. Here I am on my knees, begging if you please.
And the night you don't come my way, oh, I pray and pray more each day, 'cause we love you,
Mr. Moonlight, Mr. Moonlight.
Next, a depressing 6/8 dirge of a song, not surprisingly also from the Beatles for Sale LP, Babies in Black. The song was a peculiar choice for a concert staple, appearing in tours from late 1964 to 1966. A rare time it might not have been a bad thing that the audience couldn't hear them.
Babies in black, and I'm feeling blue. Tell me, oh, what can I do? She thinks of him,
so she dresses in black. And though he'll never come back, she's dressed in black. Oh dear, what can I do? Baby's in black and I'm feeling blue. Tell me, oh, what can I do? I think of her, but she thinks only of him. And though it's only a whim, she thinks of him. Baby's in black and I'm feeling blue. Tell me, oh, what can I do? Dressed in black. Oh dear, what can I do? Baby's in black and I'm feeling blue. Tell me, oh, what can I do?
Paul McCartney entered the solo phase of his career by thoroughly throwing the other three Beatles under the bus. Although preempted by John and Ringo's private announcements of their plans to leave the group, Paul went public, playing the victim to the max, in part to sell his first solo LP, McCartney. Luckily, it was all worth it. The record was brilliant. All right, well, not really. It wasn't worth it, or brilliant for that matter. It was just mediocre, and that's being kind. Other than maybe I'm amazed, if it wasn't from a Beatle, any responsible record company would have laughed and rejected the master. From that LP, two of the worst of his career, Ooh You and Krina Kror. No, Paul, just because it came into your head doesn't mean it's worth recording.
More guitar.
listening to The Vinyl Garage. Not exactly its shining hour. Paul thoroughly redeemed himself with his sophomore solo effort, Ram. But the third post-Beatle release and inaugural Wings LP? Well, not so much. Wildlife didn't even feature a single due to its poor sales. The intended 7-inch, a reggae Mickey and Sylvia cover of Love is Strange, was canceled. But the low point, or should I say lowest point, was Bip Bop, 4 minutes and 14 seconds of your life you'll never get back. The Vinyl Garage apologizes in advance. It was easier to believe that Paul was musically thumbing his nose at the BBC for banning his previous single than to accept that one half of the 60s biggest songwriting duo recorded a nursery rhyme. Mary Had a Little Lamb, Wings' second single, was the most recent piece of musical evidence that the Beatle thing was just a fluke. The record charted number 9 in the UK, and thanks to the B-side, number 28 domestically. Admit, as Paul's solo career progressed, the material therein showed improvement. He would soon regress, however. His next six albums had a limited number of cringe-worthy moments. Silly Love Songs from 1976's Speed of Sound LP, notwithstanding. But for the most part, things were looking up, at least until the much-hyped desertion from Capitol for the promised land of Columbia Records in 1979. The inaugural release was Goodnight Tonight, offered as a 7 and a 12-inch single. The song was an abysmal combination of disco and flamenco, and if that wasn't bad enough, there was 7 minutes 12 seconds of it, taking its rightful place as one of his worst vinyl endeavors.
It may never be the same again.
although a very successful single, one that nets Paul an estimated $400,000 annually, Wonderful Christmas Time is, in my opinion, almost the worst McCartney cut of all time. My number one pick, coming up soon.
The mood is right, the spirit's up, we're here tonight, and that's enough. Simply having a wonderful Christmas time. Simply having a wonderful Christmas time. The party's on, the feeling's here, that only comes this time of year. Simply having a wonderful Christmas time. Simply having a wonderful Christmas time. The choir of children sing their song.
Inching closer to number one is this What Were You Thinking moment from the McCartney 2 LP from 1980. Temporary Secretary. The cut was actually released as a single in the UK.
Kristen Marks, can you find for me someone strong and sweet fitting on my knee? Can keep her job if she gets it wrong. Ah, but Mr. Marks, I won't need her long. All I need is help for a little while. We can take dictation and learn to smile and attend.
need a belly dancer. I don't need a true romancer. She can be a diplomat, but I don't need a girl like that. She can be a neurosurgeon if she's doing nothing urgent. What I need's a temporary, temporary secretary.
Stay on the right track.
She can be a belly dancer. I don't need a true romancer. She can be a diplomat, but I don't need a girl like that. She can be a neurosurgeon if she's doing nothing urgent. What I need's a temporary, temporary secretary.
We are at what I, in my not-so-humble opinion, believe to be the lowest point of Sir Paul, Ebony and Ivory, a duet with Stevie Wonder from 1982's Tug of War LP. You don't have to take my word for it. Blender Magazine in 2009 named it the 10th worst song of all time. And according to the listeners of BBC Six, the worst duet in history. And it's the first time any Beatle made it onto the R&B charts. Now, that's why I, at the top of the show, wanted it known that I am a Beatle fan. But not one that would let any one of them get away with a less than expected, sometimes downright bad record. Kind of like that friend that isn't afraid to tell you your tie is hideous. Just saying.
What we need to survive together.
back in everyone. We learn to live when we learn to give each other what we need to survive. Together
perfectly good hour of your life you'll never get back spent listening to me. The Vinyl Garage applauds your discerning taste. Questions, comments, your undying allegiance, or outright disdain can be directed at vinylgarage@oh.rr.com or Facebook.com/Vinyl Garage Show. So until next time, this is Dave Nelson. As always, thanks for listening. Great. So you can now zero,